Shut up and sit down.
It is our final Breakfast with Ben's podcast before the draft. Tim Ben's with you tonight. First round, Steelers pick at number 17. You know that by now. You know a lot of the familiar names that people have been projecting as potential Steelers draft choices. Last week, Mark Domenech, former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, now an analyst on NFL Sirius XM, one of their draft experts. He had a conference call with writers across the country to preview the draft. And I asked him on the conference call, what position between corner and tackle, since those seem to be the two hot-button positions the Steelers fans want to talk about, that Steelers fans want to see their franchise target in the draft, specifically at pick number 17, and to combine the two, 17 and 32, if the Steelers hold on to both picks, between those two positions, which one has more depth? In other words, if it's a toss-up between a corner or a tackle at 17, and the Steelers still want to get a good player at the other position at 32, which pool of talent is deeper between the two positions?
I would say that the corner, you're going to have a better shot of hitting. I think that there's going to be a little bit better chance that there's going to be somebody that's going to be there that you're going to like at the cornerback spot more likely than I think the tackle spot. I think the tackle spot's going to hit a little bit of a wall once we get past some of these bigger names, where I think the corner spot, you can still feel like a Ringo or Banks. Juju Brents, I think, is a guy that's moved up boards. DJ Turner, I think, has moved up boards, where I think you feel, and DJ might be more of a third rounder, but I think there's enough of that corner spot where I think you feel more comfortable saying, I got a better chance of being right there than the tackle spot, where I don't know if Anton Harrison, you know, I think he could drop into the second round. Cody Mock is a guy that I think is a second round good player that I would be liking, but you only get like two or three of the tackles where I feel like I got four or five corners at that spot.
Well, I was encouraged to hear that because I want to see the Steelers take a tackle in the first round, specifically Broderick Jones out of Georgia, if he's available. And I think he might be. With the quarterbacks that are expected to go in the first round early, if there's a tight end, if there's a running back like Bijan Robinson out of Texas that maybe goes somewhere before the Steelers pick at number 17, just get as many of those positions to be drafted early to push the prospect pool of tackles and cornerbacks down, deflate the value on those positions so that the Steelers have a better chance of having a good one fall to them at either corner or tackle. That would make me happy, and specifically, I think I'd be happy if it's Jones. Like, I don't see a scenario where both Christian Gonzalez, the corner out of Oregon, Witherspoon, the corner out of Illinois, Skronsky, Paris Johnson out of Ohio State, those two tackles, Skronsky out of Northwestern, and then Jones and Darnell Wright. Like, I don't see all four of those tackles and both of those corners gone by the time the Steelers pick at 17. And throw Joey Porter Jr. into that mix as well, if you like. So I do think it's possible that Jones is on the board. Here was Mark Domenech's evaluation of him.
I don't know if he's going to be there, but I love Broderick Jones. If he's there, I turn that in 2 seconds. You know, I think that Broderick Jones is there and he happens to fall to that. I think that's an easy selection.
But I am with the masses when it comes to my prediction of who the Steelers will take. I think if Joey Porter Jr. is available at 17, the Steelers will take him. Son of the All-Pro Super Bowl winning outside linebacker, friend and former assistant of Mike Tomlin, a local kid who played college football at Penn State, a good corner. And I do think it's worthy of pointing this out that I don't think that Joey Porter Jr. going to the Steelers is pure nepotism or pure cronyism. After all, a lot of people think he's going to go before the Steelers pick him, specifically at 16 to the Commanders. So it's not like this is a reach just for the sake of getting a kid of one of Mike Tomlin's buddies onto the roster or to kind of make the circle of life complete by bringing the son of a Steeler on board. That's not fair to Porter. I do think he's a first-round worthy talent. I think 17 is a little too high for him just overall ranking it on the big board. But if you look at fit for the Steelers, they need a corner. If you look at fit because they know the kid, then, yeah, it starts to make more sense they would take him at 17. So even though I'd prefer a tackle, even though I'd prefer Jones, Porter, to me, that's not going to make me upset, particularly if they can get a good tackle at either 32 or 49. I could see them going in a different direction at 32. Brian Brisset from Clemson comes to mind as somebody who I think they might take if he's there. Branch, the safety from Alabama, I could see them taking him if they stay at 32 and he's there. And then maybe one of the other tackles, like the Syracuse kid, Bergeron, who I've watched quite a bit being an Orange alum myself, I could see them going in that direction at 49 if he's still on the board. Mock, the kid from North Dakota State. I don't know where Anton Harrison from Oklahoma is going to go, but his name has been thrown around. He'll probably go higher than that. In fact, he might go back half of the first round. But there are other tackles available that the Steelers could get, even though, as you heard from Mark Dominic, there's a fall off after Darnell Wright, potentially, in my eyes anyway, as the fourth best tackle. I'm not opposed, and I've said this quite a bit, I'm not opposed to seeing the Steelers take either a corner or a tackle at 17 and then using that 32nd pick to get back into the first round and then potentially taking whichever one they don't get a little bit higher. So like a dream scenario might be for them to take either Wright or Jones as a tackle and then trade back in to get Joey Porter Jr. if he's still on the board, or vice versa. I don't think Jones falls that far. I think Wright might, but we'll see. I just don't think that's a trade prospect that's been talked about enough. We've heard extensively about the potential of the Steelers trading up to within the top 10 to maybe get one of the two corners, Gonzalez or Witherspoon. I'd love that idea. Or maybe Paris Johnson Jr., the best tackle on the board from Ohio State. I'd like that idea a lot too. If it takes giving up one of the two second round picks to do it, so be it. I think it's worthwhile to upgrade at one of those two positions that much and then still use the 49th on the other position that's not been addressed. To me, that's something I think the Steelers should definitely investigate. But let's get Mark Dominic's opinion on Joey Porter Jr. before we go anywhere else.
Well, I think he's really good at playing up at the line of scrimmage due to his length. I mean, when you get up next to him and stand by him, you're kind of blown away by it. It's just the size of the man, yet the athleticism's there. I think when you watch his tape, I feel like he hasn't even become the player he's going to become. Like, I think he's going to get better as he gets to the NFL because, you know, even though he's got the size, I don't think he's stiff in his hips. And I think that's what got Del Cuda. When you go back and look at Del Cuda coming out of Ohio State, he struggled in flipping his hips, where I don't think Joey Porter struggles that way. And I think that's going to make him a lot more exciting to put on your football team. And then with the size and frame and the way I think he'll use hands, he, to me, you can play him off and he's okay there. I don't think he's as good as an off player, but I think he'll grow as he continues to grow in the National Football League. But I think he's get up at the line of scrimmage, go and beat people up. And I think he's more athletic than I think people realize. And again, I also think there is still a lot of growth in front of him.
And while we're at it, let's also get Dominic's thoughts on Darnell Wright. He's the tackle from Tennessee who played both sides, left and right, and had a heck of a lot better results working from the right side of the offensive line, which to me, that's sort of a red flag to me, at least with the way the Steelers are currently constructed. Like, I don't want to see them go draft Darnell Wright in the first round just to move Chukwuemeka Okorafor to left tackle so this guy can start at right tackle and then Dan Moore goes to the bench. If you're going to find a guy that you want to bench Dan Moore for, make it a true left tackle. Don't move Chukwuemeka Okorafor to justify the pick after I think they've finally gotten some good steady play from Okorafor at right tackle. It's just my thought, but here's what Dominic had to say about Wright.
So Darnell Wright, I think, is a guy that, you know, certainly has a ton of talent coming out of there. I think that he's a really, what's the best way to say it? I think he's just a natural offensive tackle, like because of his frame, because of his size. I think he's just a bigger body. I don't like him as much as Skronsky. Obviously, you can tell by my little bit of hesitation in terms of talking. I still think he's a first-round pick. I still think he's a guy that's going to certainly go really high in the draft. I don't think he's, you know, I think he's got a chance to still be in the first round. He's so young, though. That's what I really like it. I think that's important. But he's much more of that classic right tackle than left tackle, and so that's where I like Skronsky better, because I think he's got more versatility, where I think Big Wright is a guy that you're going to want to put over that right hand side, and he's going to make it at right tackle or he's not, where, you know, Peter I think has a chance to make it at left tackle, make it at left guard, maybe even make it out at the right side, and I think that's what puts him higher on people's boards, and where Wright I think drops down on boards.
Now, when it comes to the theory of the Steelers trading up, there had been a report from Peter King a few weeks ago that if they do it, they're going to do it with an eye towards getting Jalen Carter, who is, by the evaluation of many people, the most talented player in this draft. But he had a lousy pro day, and of course he's got the off-the-field concerns following that drag racing incident that resulted in two people being killed. He was part of that investigation. So there are a lot of folks who are looking at Carter now with a bit of a jaundiced view, and he went from the number one overall evaluation to a guy who might fall out of the top 10, although that's kind of balanced out now, and some people are saying he won't get beyond the Seahawks at five. This is what Dominic had to say about Jalen Carter and how much of a wild card he's going to be in this whole process.
Not finishing the pro day isn't ideal. The drag racing is still under, you know, suspicion. I mean, we have a director of security that's at every club. You know, generally what I would do in this situation is I would have sent my director of security down there and just kind of dug around the trenches and try to get a better sense of what's going on. This stems back to when you're talking about a guy at this level, we would go back in Tampa. We would go back and interview high school coaches, high school faculty, to make sure that we're getting a good sense of who this young man was when he was 17 and 18, let alone what he is today, because it is that critical of a decision. And you got to make sure that not just the love of football, because I think that's there. It's can you trust him and will he make the right choices, whether it's in New York or whether it's in Tampa or wherever he may be. That's the hard one. I think you're going to always lean towards him, right? Towards like, well, I feel good. But that's where those 30 visits, and I know he only chose top 10 teams, but those 30 visits really are going to tell the story, and we'll get a good sense of where he's going to go because of that. But I think he still goes top 10. I don't think he's going to fall out of that.
Now, when it comes to wide receivers, a lot of folks have cooled on the notion of the Steelers taking a wide receiver in round one, maybe even around two or three, because they went out and got Allen Robinson. I don't necessarily think that's got to be A plus B equals C here. Like, for instance, if they get wowed by some guy who's still on the board, like, for instance, a Jordan Addison or a Zay Flowers, Jackson Smith and Jigba, wherever he might go, although I think he's going to be a first-round guy, and I don't see the Steelers going first-round with a wide receiver. Downs, the guy from North Carolina, like, aside from Njigba, those other three guys that I mentioned, if they're on the board somewhere in the second or third round when the Steelers are on the clock and they're looking at their construction of a depth chart at wide receiver and they see a potential for a guy to be a true number three and have Robinson more or less be insurance and be a number four, they might do it. They might take him. If they do, I hope it's Zay Flowers. I'm a huge fan of his. I've watched him a lot at Boston College over the years. Of course, the connection to Dino, Mike Tomlin's son, who plays at BC right now, played at BC last year with Flowers too. He's my guy at wide receiver for the Steelers after Jackson Smith and Jigba. Mark Dominic seems to agree to a large extent about how good Flowers can be.
Zay Flowers, I think he's dynamic. He's so explosive and he's so strong for his size. I mean, you got to be careful because he didn't run quite as fast, but you know, there's a lot of Tyreek Hill kind of pop plays. He's a really good route runner. He catches away from his body. He can go and adjust. He's not afraid to give up his body. I think he has sideline awareness, but I also think he's really good in terms of when he gets the ball in his hands, he has vision. So, I mean, I'm a huge Zay Flowers fan, just an explosive weapon. We talk about explosion plays and how important they are in the NFL, and they are. I think Zay Flowers brings that, and I think that, you know, we hear about it briefly, and he kind of moves hiddenly on the board, but I think clubs like him a lot more than they're admitting.
I want to throw out one other name at you before we wrap up here, and that's Nolan Smith. He's the edge rusher from Georgia who might be able to play inside for the Steelers too. Maybe a guy who plays inside on first and second down and can rush the passer on third. Maybe they blitz him a little bit more. But at any rate, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.com, who used to cover the Steelers and now covers the league nationally, he said on 93.7 The Fan recently that, I guess it was yesterday, in fact, that he's been told if Smith is still on the board at 17, he's not getting by 17. And, of course, that would mean the Steelers. I can't see them taking a first-round pick on a guy who's primarily an edge rusher. He's small to play the edge, the outside linebacker spot in the Steelers' 3-4 scheme. Like I said, they could have him be an inside linebacker, I guess, and use him as a guy who can float between positions. I suppose that's a possibility. But they just threw a Landon Roberts and Cole Holcomb at the inside linebacker problem in the offseason. There's Jack Campbell, who's still potentially going to be there in the mid to late second round out of Iowa. Trenton Simpson from Clemson and Drew Sanders are two other guys that leap to mind as good inside linebackers that might be there in the second round if the Steelers do want to go that route. I just happen to think you don't use your first-round draft choice on a guy who's surely going to be a backup for this year and potentially is going to be a backup for the foreseeable future if his primary skill is that of edge rusher, should the Steelers decide to keep Alex Highsmith. And this would be the first time I had ever heard of anybody suggesting that the Steelers are looking to find a way to not keep Alex Highsmith and not have to pay him. I mean, I feel like they're going to work out that contract, and you still got TJ Watt under contract through 2025. I suppose getting Smith would be a great insurance option in that regard. And I suppose in the meanwhile, he could play inside and then go outside like Chad Brown did with the Steelers way back when. But I think there are more pressing needs at cornerback. They don't have a backup tackle either, just like they don't have a backup outside linebacker. I'm not trying to diminish that need. It was a huge problem for the Steelers last year with Watt getting hurt. And like we said, with the questions about the Highsmith extension, it makes a lot of sense to have somebody more capable at the ready than Quincy Roche. I mean, like, he's a guy they drafted, didn't keep, went to New York, played better than expected there. Now they got him back. But he's their top option at outside linebacker right now. Malik Reed gave him nothing. You know, it's been a black hole since Ingram left and pouted his way out of town to Kansas City in the middle of the 2021 season. So it is a big deal to get more depth and position strength at outside linebacker. I just don't think you put a first-round attachment to that goal. I'll wrap up with this clip from Mark Domenech. He was asked about the Steelers and whether or not they should spend more of their draft capital on defense versus offense. Like, when the shape of the draft is done, will we walk away saying that the Steelers tried to bulk up their D, or they attempted to put as many weapons and put as much versatility around Kenny Pickett as possible in year two? And Domenech weighed in with his opinion on that front.
I think I'm leaning towards, you know, trying to continue to bolster the offense and try to put as many weapons as I can around Kenny Pickett to allow him to so we can evaluate him correctly year two. So we're not sitting there in year three going, well, if we'd have just added one more offensive weapon, we'd have a better sense of so you know which way to go with Kenny Pickett. So as much as, yes, you definitely need to add some defensive talent to this team in terms of youth with some of the age and some of these players. But I think I'd lean more towards that offensive skill set, or maybe even the offensive line, to add one more piece to that puzzle. I also wouldn't be shocked based off of what people are doing. I know Calvin Austin hopes to jump into that role, but I wouldn't be shocked if wide receiver is something real for them as well, just to kind of make sure that they feel like they can go out there in three or four wide sets. And then when you got Pat on the field, you feel like you've got lots of different options. So if it's not those two, I think if it's not the receiver, if it's not the offensive line, more of, and I like Dan Moore. I think people are down on Dan Moore. I know he had a lot of penalties last year from the way I watched him. I still think he can hold up at the left tackle spot, but I'd still plug and play an offensive lineman. I think he could do that there. Sadly, I think if you're going somewhere else, you're going back to that Steelers and that Achilles heel of cornerback room and maybe trying one more bite of that apple.
All right, so the thoughts of Mark Domenech, again, a former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, now a draft analyst with SiriusXM on the NFL Network. Make sure you check out all of my posts and those from Joe Rutter and Chris Adamski as well from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. We'll have lots to talk about with Joe. We'll get a podcast with Joe at some point. If not after the first round pick, then at the end of the draft weekend, might check in with Chris Adamski too. We'll have some podcasts to post here and there as well as it relates to the Steelers and their draft choices this weekend. So stay with us at Breakfast with Ben. Stay with us at Trib Live. And you can also see me on Channel 11 on Sunday night for the final word. We'll do a draft wrap-up on Channel 11. All right, that'll do it for us. Enjoy the draft tonight, everybody, and we'll check back in tomorrow here at Breakfast with Ben's.